the globe. Kaleidoscope of loud heartbeats under coats. Everybody here wanted something more. Searching for a sound we hadn't heard before. And it said, welcome to New York. It's been waiting for you. Welcome to New York. Welcome to New York. Welcome to New York.
So I shouldn't talk any shit about Mickey Mouse or Walt Disney while I'm there, you know.
We'll wear a shirt then.
Make sure and not say that Walt Disney was a Nazi during a job interview for any number of corporations.
I think you want to set a negative thing or two about Walt Disney.
Oh, yeah. No, I definitely, I think, like, you know, and as we're wrapping up Ghost Pee, I always think it's important and, you know, maybe the music will be fading out by now.
Cheers
right after.
Yeah. Episode 40-something.
46?
We've compiled a couple on this week.
Yeah, so I don't know.
I'm a little lost.
45 or 46 or something.
Could be our last just
our
standard.
Last regular interview kind of thing.
Yeah.
It could be. And we're joined by Connor.
We flew somebody all the way out here from New York.
You guys paid us.
Money.
Yeah,
go through
that's
money.
Really nice of you.
Yeah, and so you could see your family and stuff because... It's what we're about here.
We spared no expense.
We want people to stay connected with their families, be
just
true
like
to their
Conan.
Roots,
yeah.
Things like
great.
That. I also just want to say, as we're you know finishing up our podcast, there, it's like I've lied a lot through my teeth. I've spoken entirely unfounded opinions. And it's one of those things that just feels good to acknowledge at this point in time and not go into specific details. So that later, if people dig up Ghost Pee and they're like, yeah, Nick, what about when you said this and it was published on the internet on this date? And I'll be like, that was one of the times I was lying, you guys. And so I have subtly, just in the interest of storytelling.
You've backed it off a bit? Or?
No, I've upped it a lot, actually. One person that I knew in high school once paid me the compliment. They're like, Nick, you're the first person I've ever met who actively tries to make themselves seem worse than they actually are. I feel a bit of a compliment, really. Yeah, it's like, it was like a lot of people are always trying to represent themselves as a little bit better, and you have consistently, in the time I've known you, always have tried to make yourself seem more awful. And so, and it was like, and knowing you is pleasantly surprising in that way, you know? And I was like, I think that's the right tactic,
yeah,
you know?
Definitely.
If ever I was burdened with actual famousness, I'd preface it with one of my first public appearances and just be like, oh, and by the way, I'm sort of a pathological liar. Basically a really good guy, but, you know, I just like talking. Our guest is Connor Farrell, who we brought out here from New York, New Jersey.
New Jersey, technically.
New Jersey.
Technically.
Right outside New York City, though.
So that's where the fan mail can go.
Yeah. Just send it to New York City.
Outside of,
it'll get to me.
Just outside of New York City.
Just they'll find me. They'll know.
Well, we have a couple events tonight. It's been NBA All-Star Weekend.
Mm-hmm.
The weekend we're recording this. And so we've been enjoying the dunk contest last night.
I have to say,
Russell Westbrook has just won MVP, so
good
we should
for
probably
him.
Announce
good for
that.
Russell. Yeah, in case you
Thunder
didn't
up.
Find out,
yeah.
You know.
Spoiler alert, if you recorded the game.
Well, this is going to be like a week and a half.
Right, if you recorded the game,
and
you
win
don't
out of the country.
Care that much. So, like, you intend on catching
just know
up
that
with
it's
it.
Something that I cared about,
you probably
and
won't
I'm
be.
Very, you know.
And
about.
As somebody that watches way less basketball, and so it had been years since I'd actually watched like an All-Star weekend,
mm-hmm.
I got to tell you, I think NBA does the All-Star.
It was a fun weekend.
It does it
performance
better altogether. Yeah, added up altogether, I'd say it's overall
Queen
better
Latifah
than the other sports.
Sung the national anthem tonight, and she killed it. Did you see it?
I didn't see it.
Oh, my God. You should look
you
it
You didn't
up.
Tell me Queen Latifah was there as well as Nas.
I mean, I didn't know. I mean, I didn't know she was going to be there, but
right.
She killed that national anthem.
Mm-hmm. You see, that they had shows in between. They had, like, challenges that are actually really fun. Watching this All-Star game made me realize that, like, yeah, although there is a complex science and, like, coaching and strategy to basketball, you can just take the best guys and just have, as you described it, have them play a pickup game
right.
in a gym that happens to be Madison Square Garden to people that have paid good money. And it's still a really entertaining sport. Whereas, like, the Pro Bowl sucks to watch because football is such a, like, strategic game and people need to... So it's, like, it's stripped down to the basics and then... Again, whenever they try and do any special stuff beyond the game, it kind of just looks like combine shit. NHL trick shot competition is really cool, maybe as cool as like the dunk competition.
But they don't have dancers out there on the
no,
ice.
No, the whole thing is a mess. Yeah.
They don't have Nas coming
it's
out.
It's an underfunded mess, the whole thing.
They brought Nas out into a hockey ring. It'd just be 15,000 confused white people.
Yeah, like, what? Wait, why is there a black guy here?
Whoa, was that a player?
I don't get it.
Whoa.
He's rapping.
Yeah.
And you know, Nas would be cold.
Close
too.
It up.
He'd be like, well,
give me my money. Put my check right here.
And then they'd
be
like,
that money.
Well, shit, let's just do the game, you know? Let's just
really,
the
only thing
over.
The NBA All-Star Weekend missed was Kanye's presence. I mean,
also, I
he was at
see
SNL
Jay-Z.
Tonight.
Oh, was he?
I didn't see Jay-Z.
Or Jay-Z.
Oh, well... And
Kanye was at Rockefeller doing the SNL.
Yeah, what program, a natural so. Segue that you would know where he was.
Yeah, you know exactly where
Kanye
was at tonight.
Yeah, so...
Explain your love
you're
affair
pro
for
Kanye.
Kanye.
You're pro-Kanye.
I'm very pro-Kanye.
Okay.
Look at him rolling his sleeves up.
Good.
We need, like, a picture. Ago. I was like, all right, here we go. Here we go. I knew this was coming.
My sleeves roll up now,
me.
Too.
It's... I have a weird affliction, one, for...
Affliction.
If everyone hates a person, I become their advocate.
Okay, I
I'd love
that.
Who they are, or, well, I at least support them. Like, for instance, Kim Kardashian is somebody that I actually have defended
wow.
at a bar in front of people. Not because I respect what she does or how she's famous, but because I just don't give a shit, and I wonder why people care so much about why she's famous and why they have to tear her down. I just,
okay, so you're talking more of just a general assault on the way
I just don't like,
culture
yeah,
cannibalizes celebrities.
So tear down society we live in.
Do you have a celebrity that you don't like?
You must.
Or that you
Gwyneth Paltrow.
Gwyneth Paltrow.
And you would just
okay.
shit on her and
don't
she's
like
her.
She's annoying. She's preachy.
So what about somebody listening that's like, hey, I love Gwyneth Paltrow. Why does he got to be so negative and tear her down?
That's, I mean, they can say that.
Yeah.
That's fine. I mean,
do you
I,
go out of your way to ever talk smack, or is it only when it's solicited?
If
you,
Gwyneth
so.
Paltrow says something terrible, which is 90% of the time
right,
she talks,
yeah.
No, then, yeah,
idiot.
I'll respond
she's
and
a fucking
talk
idiot.
About it.
Yeah.
I also hate, I mean, mostly
but
sports
But how do you
writers.
Not understand when people do it to Kanye, then?
It goes beyond
he's
that.
He's much
though.
Larger than Gwyneth
He does,
Paltrow.
But it's much larger
yeah,
for Kanye in the vitriol people have. Like, people act like he viciously offended them when he viciously attacked Beck. And they acted like their music, like, they helped on that CD.
Well, I don't think anybody likes to be told the music that resonates with them is shitty.
Yeah.
It's like, well, you're just
I think it's, and so we talked about this with Eric, who is our last guest, or maybe the guest you'll hear next. Oh, what a hilarious time warp. But, so we recently had a conversation with Eric, and he was talking about how, because he kind of was a little bit pro Kanye as well, but then he thought he shouldn't have come after Beck, or, you know, this is everybody always has, everybody always has, like, you know, qualifiers. But it becomes an interesting thing, because it's like, is it just a, like, a contrarian point of view that you see that a bunch of people have vitriol? Because the guy does things. He actually participates in actions to make an ass out of himself.
He does.
And so then, like, it being like, all right, well, he's just a dude and I'm going to let him go. It's like, yeah, but he's a dude with a fucking, you know, public platform and millions of dollars. And he's deciding to use those things to put him in a place to be a dick.
Yeah. That same weekend, though, the day before, Bob Dylan shit all over Tom Waits. So he sounded like a frog. Didn't understand why people made fun of him and not Tom Waits. Just completely trashed him. 2 weeks later, Jack White goes after Meg White and says her anxiety was basically, like, he makes it all about himself. Nobody says a thing. So I think it's
Jack
more...
White, if you pay close enough attention, that's a guy who needs to learn to quiet down
a little
personal bit.
Personal feud. What does Kanye have with Meg? Like, dude, fuck that guy.
He doesn't have, I mean, and he came out later and said it was kind of a joke, kind of like
the
Grammys.
On the stage was.
I think my.
He tried to palm that.
Yeah,
out.
I think, honestly, it kind of was, but he's. Kanye has a bit of a character that he has to live up to that he created immediately when he got into the rap game. He also has a character of hip-hop, which is this over-dramatic, in-your-face genre of music that is the old rock style kind of way. And I think a lot of people, like I said, I don't think it's because Kanye is black. I do think it's because hip-hop is black. I think the black culture, like Richard Sherman, is somebody people hate. And I think it's because he voices that black culture's kind of over-the-top kind of way that they do things.
Well, he's opinionated, yeah. And there's less of a filter there. With the Richard Sherman, I do see it because it is like, well, the guy's cocky, but there are lots of them that are cocky. But he is cocky in a way that is specifically unpleasant towards white America.
Yeah.
You know?
And Kanye is that too. I mean,
I think,
even in rap songs, like, I think anybody who... Like, I own all of Kanye's records. I think anybody who has listened to all of his songs knows he's not the type of guy he puts on stage all the time.
Right.
He made an album because he was sad about his mom dying. He, you know, his new single with Paul McCartney is about his daughter and how, you know, much he loves Northwest. So, like, the guy...
Northwest.
And the guy had an interview today with Complex. He had an interview today with Complex where he said, you know, the reason he got into fashion was because he felt that fashion was disrespectful to women. And the reason he wanted to make this line is because he wanted something women could wear. And yeah, it's expensive, but he wanted something different. And he thought it was disrespectful the way fashion was working towards women. And he has Kim and he has North and he talked them all up. Yeah, he doesn't have to say that, though. Like, he's Kanye West. He doesn't have to say that. He doesn't have to care about what white America thinks of him, which is why I buy it.
But why does he throw tantrums that, if he just really doesn't care what people think, why does he throw tantrums?
Because he doesn't care.
He didn't win awards.
It wasn't because he didn't win an award. It's because the Grammys disrespected black culture that entire night. They gave Eminem a fucking Grammy, and then, 20 minutes later, talked about domestic abuse. A guy who said, in a record, that he would rape Iggy Azalea, they handed a fucking trophy to. And then they want to talk about domestic abuse. Like, in the last 2 years... Black artists have put out incredible rap records.
Well,
Schoolboy Q, Kendrick Lamar, Childish Gambino.
And they were disrespected by
Macklemore and Eminem, who put out maybe his fifth best record he's ever done, and maybe the fourth best record of the year. And they hand him a record. Like, and I'm not saying Beck put out a bad record, but I am saying the people that defended Beck were just as bad as Kanye. Trashing Beyonce... What did she do?
No, I didn't see that. But I think what surprises me the most, especially as a comedian, is that you're surprised how much people care about Kanye. And you obviously care
that they care. You know what I mean? Like,
eventually it gets on my nerves. People, yeah.
Like, that's what we do, though, is, like, we'll take somebody like Kanye who just makes an ass of himself and make fun of it. Like, we're going to make comments about
people,
it.
People, topics.
Is, but you said that you're different. Surprised at how
okay,
much
so how is it different?
I think it's different if you pick
that.
On Kanye. Kanye's been picked on since he became, and he's fine with it. The gay fish episode of South Park, he loves that episode. He's gone on record. He loves it. He invited Seth
well,
Rogen and James Franco.
What else do you say?
But, you know, he invited Seth Rogen and James Franco to perform Bound to You at his wedding. You know, they picked on him. He's been picked on before. When you go off and you say he's untalented or he's a scumbag or you go off and attack his character, it's a little different than just picking on the guy. I know he's an asshole.
No, I think for me, what offended me is that somehow him and Jay-Z and Beyonce, they've kind of set themselves up as the purveyors for what's cool. Like, you don't think my music's cool, then you're not cool. If you think Beck was a better album than Beyonce, then you're not cool. Like, you're disrespecting artistry. It's like, no. I just prefer to listen to Beck. I have Kanye albums. Like, I listen to his music. I respect it, enjoy it. But don't tell me that something's wrong with me. Like,
I think
I'm not respecting artistry.
When you bring
I just prefer to listen to Beck.
So subjective as artistry.
Yeah.
I think that you lose any strain of logic in the conversation, because what is artistry? Artistry is not even any necessarily technical craft or prowess, of which a lot of people just brought up, like, oh, well, Beck is the only guy who put it together. He wrote all the songs. He played the instruments. And so that is like, if you look at that as like, is artistry that technical competency? Is artistry some, and then you have to too be like, all award shows, all award ceremonies are the industry patting itself on the back, applying pageantry, and being like, look at how beautiful all of this is. That's what NBA All-Star Weekend is. It's, you know, it's a time to revel in like, oh my God, aren't we just the shit? Don't you want to keep feeding us money? And in a way, and Weston, you brought this up at the end of the last, but to us the funniest possibility was maybe if the Grammys were just gaming him, and they were just similar in the way, because it was like, you show they get good ratings.
You keep
no matter what happens,
tantrum, we're gonna keep. Like,
yeah, we're gonna
like
be
making a really
in that
bad
way,
decision
because,
on an award.
Because
that'd be great.
Since I do like and follow pro wrestling, it causes everything. When there's a storyline, it's like you're supposed to hate this guy and everything.
You become a skeptic. Yeah.
It's called
how many
is a
he
work.
Won?
It's called a work.
Kanye?
Yeah.
Oh, over a half a dozen.
So he's doing okay.
He's
see,
done fine.
It's
not
almost,
about. It wasn't
almost,
ever about him.
No, he said in the interview
but
after
himself a
that
martyr.
I've never won when I've been up against a white artist. Like, he made it all about, like, this
okay.
race thing.
He
like,
put out
that,
My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy, which is one of the best rap records of the last 10 years. He lost to Arcade Fire's last album, which was fine. It was a good album.
What are the standards that they vote on?
It was a good album. And good album. When Arcade Fire won, Kanye was very appreciative of Arcade Fire. He wrote a letter to him. He really liked that album. It was a very good indie rock album. I think the whole thing about, to me, what offended me the most was not that people got mad that Kanye said it. It was the way they retaliated. It was, and it was 90% of people who haven't bought a Beck record since fucking Summer Girl was out.
Who
you
buys
know?
Records anymore?
Yeah, well, but you want to sit there and defend a guy that you haven't listened to in 8 years? I don't care for your opinion then. And somebody was like, tweeted out like, oh, why are you saying who's Beck? Well, the dude hasn't done anything of note in 8 years. In the music industry, that's an eternity. So I wouldn't mind if a bunch of millennials
well,
forgot
we were
who he
that
was.
Well, talking about earlier about, it's almost like they gave him the award, I felt like, because they were like, hey man, keep making music.
Yeah, please
just
keep doing this.
Keep doing it. Like,
well,
it's almost
it's,
like an
it's
encouragement.
Like, it's like when Marty got the award for
guy.
The Departed.
It's,
yeah.
it's like he should have gotten it for Gangs of New York, but Chicago was out that year.
Yeah.
Then you can look at Goodfellas, you can look at Raging Bull. You can look at any number of movies where it's like, we could have given it to him for this.
Should have, in hindsight. Yeah.
But, well, it's also, though, it's well, the way things worked out. For instance, like, it's been 20 years since Mellow Gold came out, you know? Midnight Vultures, Sea Change, all that shit is just about 20 years old now. And so he's been a worker, and he's been there consistently, and it's like, in a way, if he has a solid piece of craft or something, and And that's where, like, when you actually think about it, the only ones that you can really trust, like, you shouldn't trust at the Oscars, whatever wins best movie and best director, and a lot of those really big awards, you can't trust because there's so many other things going into that decision. But you can trust things like best cinematography. You know, you can be like a significant majority of people who pick this, and if you go watch it next to the others, there can be places for argument, but in terms of sheer filmic composition, this is the best. Or like, holy shit, this is the best fucking script that was out here. But everything else is political.
Yeah.
And what do they put into it? So you look at it, and it's like, Beyonce has more time and a peak, and if you look at all of these things again as like little stories, that you know, we wouldn't buy music if there wasn't the same little like narrative to like, oh, I like this guy because he's fucking fighting the man, or like, oh, this is their last album, they're gonna get together again in like, you know, 4 years. But
do you write about pop culture?
No, but.
God damn, you're so knowledgeable about it. I'm passionate.
Okay, but T-Swift.
Taylor Swift, yeah.
Yeah.
Pro.
Dude, he really like just Taylor you Swift. When really he said like her it. Name, he kind of clenched his fist.
He turned like, off. He turned off. No, I wasn't. I'm not even trying to
you
say
go
she's,
right?
Just, yeah, like, she's just another person that I know that a lot of people shit on that you are all about.
The thing is, with Kanye and Taylor Swift, I can understand they're in your face.
So how did you fall out when he attacked her? It's like you're
that was
two
over
sweethearts.
6 years ago.
Yeah.
So I'm over it. When it happened, I was just like, whatever.
Were you team Taylor or team Kanye?
I was back then. I was more of a Kanye fan than I was a Taylor Swift fan because she was country then. So I was like, oh,
yeah,
whatever.
I didn't know who the fuck she was.
Yeah.
If anything, it was
anything
actually,
that propelled her career.
It was a great
that
thing
propelled,
to happen.
Because after that
again,
happened,
another
people
way,
knew who she was.
It's all a work. It's all a work. They're like, hey, she's trying to segue into more mainstream things. What if we get Kanye, tap him on the shoulder, tell him to, like, fucking go disrupt.
Crazy.
And so everybody would be thinking about Taylor
Swift. I just
think
the balls
get that guy that trashed on President Bush to go shit on Taylor Swift and then her record shoot, you know?
I think he's just a guy who thinks his opinions, like, everyone should think the way he does. Like, hey.
Which a lot of people do.
Yeah, and I've had somebody
and
say
all
this
of us basically.
Like you always anybody who ever says you always think you're right. It's like yeah, if I didn't think I was right,
I wouldn't be saying it.
I wouldn't think
exactly.
That. Shit.
Yeah.
I wouldn't think
you always
that
think
way.
You're right. Yeah, I mean, doesn't everybody think they're right?
Aren't you supposed to fundamentally just be okay
at the end of the day?
Shouldn't you be sure?
You shouldn't be you're like you're right
shouldn't
about
you
certain
be sure,
things.
Like,
I don't know.
I think the perfect level of right is about to be. To feel that you're about 85% right. So you definitely slip in. You definitely like, there are things that I am probably wrong about. And as I discover, I'm going to try and grow. But I gotta feel that I am mostly right. To keep getting up and
just
doing
you
things.
Just confuse somebody. And like, you're having a conversation. They just get kind of confused. And like, you just think you're right. I was like, no, I thought we were discussing.
I thought we were having a discussion.
Yeah. I thought you had more points. I thought you had more points.
Yeah, it's the dude calm down kind of thing. But the Grammys do that, where they just hand people records in 2005.
I mean, the
Green
Simpsons
Day,
have been shitting on the Grammys for... Oh, and,
oh forever.
Forever.
But in 2005, Green Day put out American Idiot, which people trash Green Day now, but at the time, that was a pop punk staple.
Oh, I hated it.
I mean, it was a record that it jumped pop punk forward, and Green Day's fans went from 25-year-old stoner dudes to like 15-year-old girls.
Well, you see, that was the thing.
The popularity.
I felt getting left behind.
Yeah.
Of like being into their like really
you're
like
punk rock. Oh.
It's like pop rock that is almost crust punk.
Yeah.
Is what it was, and then it just became like sugar, like bubblegum pop.
But crust they punk. Put it out, and it was. I mean, for all that it was, for all everybody that hated it, it was probably the best record of that year. They lost to U2.
Ugh.
Who hasn't put out a good record since 1994.
Oh,
because
my gosh.
U2
you know who else was
U2.
Up that year? I think Dave Matthews Band was in that.
Really?
No, well.
It was Green Day, U2, Dave Matthews Band.
Real white people category.
Fucking awesome, right?
It was when they complained. They announced
come
all,
on,
the,
Dave.
All the Oscar nominees. And they were like, well, it's an awfully white looking. And I was like. What, I mean, did they do something special? Like, did they nominate a white man for best actress? Because that would be progressive. I was like, yeah, how can you people look at the Academy Awards and look at it as an overwhelmingly white thing, and then be like, well, I guess a little bit of surprise is okay, but then the amount of vitriol. And I will agree with you, but I also think that the internet is a shit tank.
Yeah.
You know, and the shittiest bit, I got my ass chewed out once because it was conversation that got to Matthew Shepard. And there's a common story happening around here where, you know, Matthew Shepard was actually killed because of drug stuff as opposed to being gay. Although the guys actually knew him better and this and this and that. And their lawyer actually encouraged them to cop to a hate crime rather than a drug crime because of the fucked up way federal laws are and everything. You bring that up to a lot of people, it is like you are giving that poor kid that died up there a huge middle finger and being like, and I hate all gay people and this and that. You bring it up on the internet, you get an ugly response. And so at some point, bored at work on a news story I just saw, and I was like, well, a couple other people. And then me and a handful of other people who apparently kind of knew the same thing. A tattoo artist, once told me that he'd done work on Matthew Shepard's brother and that his brother had basically told him when it came up in conversation that it had been a drug thing. And so it's like, you know, it's like I don't trust it as far as it, but the more people you hear that pass those stories along, it's like, well, it also this. Just bringing that up earned me so much hatred on the internet for about 16 hours or something. The time it took to like halfway into the next day for it to just be like, nobody cares anymore. Everybody's forgot. You know, but it was like people are violently pissed off.
It's one thing if it's a comment thread, but it's another like when I'm on Facebook or Twitter and people that I know and converse with in real life.
I was on a Kinja site. So it was like, so it came through there and I just got nasty gawker commenters, you know.
And it's anonymous or people you'll never meet, but people I know and talk to and converse with outside of these social media sites shitting on an artist that I enjoy. But in more in a way, like, I don't like him to, you know, the way with rap, hip-hop, and pop music, it goes from, oh, I don't like them, to completely debasing the entire genre. Saying that you know, oh, they don't play instruments, so they're not good at what they do. I get that all the time. And I love pop music, and I get it all the time that it's not a genre I should like.
Here's a really relevant thing, because Wes and you and I were talking about this earlier. Talk about being a fan of the Dave Matthews Band and just the inordinate quality of amongst, you know, other comedians
the
and music listeners.
Reaction. People are either they love them or they absolutely fucking hate them. And a lot of like music people you talk with, hang out with, and they love like, they're like, yeah, I know all these musicians. They know they can play instruments. They can sing. They do it on stage. And then Dave Matthews is like, ah, oh, dude, that's the fucking worst band. And you're like, are you serious? You're serious. That's the
it's
worst
like, how
band you've ever
hate,
heard.
Yeah,
they've been around for over 20 years. They sell out all over the country.
They
one
can
of the
play their instruments. Yeah. They can actually play their instruments.
Well, it's just his voice. I'm like, so you just dismiss them as the worst fucking thing you've ever heard. Because his voice doesn't fit whatever you want to hear in a voice, I guess.
I think it's a
culture. Springsteen was the same way. And
it's a culture
is.
Thing,
I
think. I
love Springsteen. You were like, oh, his voice sucks. Yeah. Like,
I think it's a culture thing because I remember when I was in high school, people did not shit on Dave Matthews Band. And then I get into it. And like the same thing happened with Nickelback, which it's not my type of music, but it's a type of music. And I just don't care that it exists. It's whatever. But you bring them up, and people act like Nickelback killed their dad.
They
just get upset.
I brought up to Weston before you came over, I brought up Limp Bizkit.
Yeah.
Because it's like, they were, and a lot of people can deny, but shouldn't deny, that for a while,
they were the biggest thing in music.
They thought Limp Bizkit was the fucking shit.
I didn't know anybody
that
didn't like them.
They're fun, and they're energetic and everything, so if you like that type of music at all. And then the degree to which people have tried to divorce themselves from Limp Bizkit, I never liked it. Fred Durst has always been a douchebag piece of shit. And it's like, yeah, I know, and that's why you loved him.
Yeah.
Was when
90s,
you
man.
Just
it was
wanted
like
to break stuff.
Yeah.
You know, like.
But, and the biggest, that's the same thing with pop music and hip hop, I think, is that secretly people love the shit out of Blank Space or out of, you know, the new Kanye song or out of that Katy Perry record. Or they love them because they're catchy and they hit exactly what you want in an emotion, which is, I mean, there's science that goes into making a hip hop record, and they hit all those points. And then, but they want to dismiss it because, oh, everybody likes it. And then it goes from dismissing it to, because they're embarrassed that they like it, the vitriol comes out. And they actually legitimately...
See, my thing with Kanye wasn't that I felt like... I didn't have to attack him as an artist or anything. I felt like, who the fuck are you to try to make me feel bad because I like an artist?
I think the posturing of Tastemaker...
What you do with your music, just fuck you in general. My comments were like, dude, fuck you, who cares? I still have your album, and I'll probably listen to it. You know,
I thought it was just like this thing again, and the possibility that it's all a grand orchestrated plot to make us keep our eye on certain people.
It could be.
Sounds better and better, you know, each time I say it. But it's like, I was like, ah, man, like, you're awesome, and you've been recognized for being awesome. But just know your role. You aren't running the Grammys yet.
You can't win them all.
Maybe when you're an old man, Kanye West, maybe as an old man, will be booking the Grammys.
They're going to have his look back on his career, and it's going to be like him just keeps interrupting the Grammys like throughout his career.
He's a wheel out there. Yeah.
He's like, hey, I'm going to let you finish.
Hold on. Let me give you the mic. But I think the biggest thing that I was trying to say, I admit that going after Beck was not the right move. I don't think Beck was the person he was intending to go after, but because he stepped up there for Beck, he kind of went into his character of this egregious, overstanding guy who, and he was like, you know what, screw it, I'm just going to go all out, and I'm going to get headlines written about me. I think he was attacking the Grammys, who, for 3 hours before, all the Beck fans attacked the Grammys. And then Beck won Album of the Year, and suddenly the Grammys were back on front.
See, because he knows, you know what? All this extra stuff. I know none of
you. You are so sharp on the Twitterverse. I got to ask you, how many times do you check Twitter, like, in an hour or something?
20.
Dude, what do you do at work?
20 times in an hour.
Are you online at work?
Yeah, I check Twitter on work. Yeah.
And that's cool there? They don't really...
They don't notice. You know, whatever. It's an office job.
Indeed.
Well, it seems to be all the comics are on Facebook all day and just like, let's just crack jokes together.
It's either because they're unemployed or they have thankless jobs where you can pretty much do that. You know?
I think the biggest thing when you're in an office job, though, it's like for 30 hours you'll never see anybody. And that's especially with mine. Like, I mean, you know, I'm in a section with a bunch of people that are in the same kind of place that I'm in.
But they're your fucking coworkers.
Yeah, but like, they're not going to fucking turn and be like, you shouldn't be on Twitter. I'll be like, oh, you fucking snitch. Like, you know, I'm not going to, you know, it's just like,
just fucking beat him up, punch him in the arm. Yeah, and don't tell anybody.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, like, I like Twitter a lot. I think it's, in terms of a comedy kind of site, like, Facebook is where people are personal and they're, you know, you connect people with people.
Oh, better. Yeah.
But Twitter is kind of where you can put out the best material.
Yeah, Twitter's the best, man.
And so I think, and I...
You can just go on
Hinge. Get it short.
Yeah. And you, well, can, you, and you can tweet, too. Well, it's too, it's like you can tweet like 10 things in, you know, 5 minutes, and it's not obnoxious.
It's not, yeah, Facebook, it's the way the format
is. So I'd be like, yeah, what, like, is up this bug's ass?
Yeah, hide.
Yeah.
But, and the biggest thing...
I no longer want to see stories from this person.
Yeah. And Twitter, too, it's, I mean, I started just to follow sports writers. And then it became that sports writers are the worst part of Twitter. And so I've kind
they
of...
They are!
You like Bill Simmons?
Oh, Bill Simmons. Peter King is my enemy. Pete Prisco, I've actually been blocked by.
Say what you're going to say.
I don't like him. I think he's... I mean,
as a writer?
I love him as a writer.
Oh, okay.
I hate him on the show. I think he's
kind
of...
On what show?
On NBA Countdown. I think he's kind of a... Like, when Boston did their trade in the draft... And Bill Simmons basically, like, broke down in tears.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I think, you know, it's cool to see, like, an emotion and fanship, but it's a little annoying when you're on ESPN. I think you should hide that and maybe write about it. He's a great writer.
No, he's a, and again, goes back to, like, as a comedian, you kind of see his shtick is he's a Boston guy.
Yeah.
It'd be the same if they had an LA guy or a, you know.
I just think it's a little over the top the way he kind of reacts. And, you know, he's a brilliant basketball mind, knows exactly what he's talking about with players. I don't think he's missed. I'm like, a lot of those guys, they'll see a young player and they'll talk him up and then that guy falls apart. I don't think Bill's missed on a guy. He knows who's going to make it in the league. I just, And in Twitter, he's kind of like most sports writers. Like, I think Keith Law is a great writer, but an absolute pompous dickbag on Twitter. And, you know, I'm sick of him. And I think Peter King has provided invaluable resources to the NFL in promoting them. And I think he's a water carrying for the league's brand. You know, he's basically a guy who stands for the shield and also kind of a pompous dickbag.
Bill Simmons has really backed off his Twitter.
Definitely has. I think
after he gets suspended,
he's gotten into some trouble.
I did go back into Bill Simmons' corner when he attacked ESPN and Robert.
I think
that's a big thing that got
I
me
think
back
that
on his
Twitter
side.
Right now is such a weird communicative format, though.
Yeah.
Because it is so short form, but then it's fucking permanent.
Yeah,
you know,
but
Twitter is continually
for news.
It's
like
an aside.
Like LeBron James subtweeted Kevin Love last week. This is a huge news story.
It's like Twitter is like an aside. You're saying a little comment like, "This was good. I recommend this movie. This is bad." Or here's one funny line that I have, and you just
throw it out there,
and then you're like, "Hey, yeah," and. But it has permanence, you know? That's a funny thing. Yeah. Like, when podcasts come back to ruin all of our lives, you know, it'll be like, oh, yeah, I, sitting there drinking some beers that evening, said that one thing.
I might have mentioned burning down a post office.
On the first episode, and I've never yet lived it down. You're going to pee a lot.
I was nervous.
It's probably like, amongst other things I've done, it's probably like something that got me a file somewhere or got a sticker put on the outside.
He's been so scared
of
it. He's almost gotten conspiracy theory-ish.
Oh, I've always been a little conspiracy theory.
He's been on it hard every time it's come up. He's like, no. I did not mean that for the record.
Well,
I love the post
office. You know, like, I think...
I love the government.
I don't love the government. You can put that on the record. It can be in the file. I felt,
you know,
like,
who else doesn't love the government? Or does,
who,
or may, or may
what?
Not? Mr. Brian Williams. And I think
I wanted to bring up Brian Williams with you. Now, Weston has only read the headlines. And so I got to give, for him and other listeners that are only maybe headline readers, got to give a quick rundown of
you
what's going on.
Yeah.
You did?
Okay, so Brian Williams, he got into
very
trouble.
Very opinionated off of headlines.
And he wound
that's
up,
the best way to do it.
He wound up being suspended without pay for 6 months. For this story that he told numerous times over the years about, like, when he was in a Chinook helicopter and they got grazed by a rocket-propelled grenade and they had to make an emergency landing. As it turns out, he was in the Chinook helicopter behind the Chinook helicopter that got grazed by an RPG, but they both had to land for the emergency landing, because it's like, oh, the convoy's been hit.
So he was just confused on the word grazed, it sounds like. Like, it was close enough to make us have to land.
Well, it was close enough, but in his original story, it was like, it hit the one he was on. But in this one, it hit one that he wasn't on. But they both landed.
That
he
sounds
said,
like a minor
he said he was like, okay, yeah, I got confused, and in the story,
a war
this
zone.
And that.
You got confused.
Yeah. A war zone. Yeah. If you're not trained for war, and you're also like professional storyteller.
I've been shitting my pants.
Yeah,
fuck.
No, it's scary.
Who got hit? We got hit.
So,
he doesn't know.
Yeah, they got hit.
So
we're landing.
So just based off of that, though, he got suspended as these inconsistencies came out, and his own record on it was not consistent.
What did he have to gain by saying his versus?
It just makes for a better story.
And that's a huge part of my point. Yeah.
That's a huge part of my point is I'm going to say, before I go into the rest of the other shit that's now bubbling up to the surface, is I think that newscasters are storytellers. Very much in the way of anybody else that you see or hear on your television or anything like that. All storytellers. The story, especially if there's any ambiguity in your mind. Was it the helicopter right in front of me or was it my helicopter? Nobody died. We just had to make an emergency landing. It's kind of scary.
What happened?
You put yourself on the helicopter that got hit. You don't waste those words of like, and then I was blah, blah, blah.
And then Jesus and pulled me out of the water.
But
while
then
he was standing on the water.
It's this crazy thing because people realize, though, that this newscaster is kind of sort of a storyteller. And I think why he got punished is because it made people think, oh yeah, well, all the newscasters are kind of storytellers. And then I think it made people think, wait, so the news isn't the absolute truth?
Yeah.
You know, it's like, it's, oh, yeah, there's like spin on it.
Trustworthy
because
things,
then they found other things.
That's why print is so great, because you can cut through bullshit in print.
Yeah.
And that's the thing too, is when I first saw this shit about Brian Williams, before I even read into it, I was like, oh damn, it's a shame he's getting dragged down in something, because he seems like a cool guy.
Yeah.
You know, he's funny whenever he does anything with one of the late shows.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, he's a regular and he's talkative and charming. And I was like, I like Brian Williams. And I was like, ah, oh, darn.
From the headlines for me, it seemed like it was a non-issue. Like, I read the headlines, I was like, what the fuck is the problem?
He got banned for 6 months. It's just the story. He was telling a better story.
It just makes people worry about what else he's saying.
Well, and so that's the problem, is that a couple other things have popped up. Yeah. Where once he made a claim that he was embedded with SEAL Team 6, and he said that at some point, and SEAL Team 6, now that's come up, and then this whole shitstorm, they're like, what? That doesn't even make sense. Why would we embed a reporter with the top secret teams?
Yeah.
We don't do that. I don't have any
what
record
do you
of them doing
embed?
That.
He might embed. He might have meant...
They was just traveling with them or whatever.
Sex with
one of the SEALs sent him a piece of the down chopper from Osama's yard, you know, the chopper that crashed there. And they're like, it probably didn't happen either. And then the one was about whether or not he met Pope John Paul, because he was going to college, like some Catholic college. And the Pope visited while he was there. And at some points he just said he was on campus. And then once or twice he said he's met the Pope. And then like once he told this story about how he's standing outside of a place because he'd heard by rumor that the Pope was going to pass through. And then he got to shake hands with the Pope and the Pope blessed him. And it's these things where I'm like, this guy's being punished for being a storyteller.
Yeah.
And that's how he got his job.
That's
And
if you met the Pope,
this crazy fact checking.
And he offered to bless you. Would you say, what would you say?
Pope Frank? Yes. I would accept from
would
the current
like,
Pope.
I think I would be like, no thanks.
I would accept a blessing
from
the
hurt
current
you.
Pope.
You, know.
You don't know.
I wouldn't,
you don't know that.
True.
You
true.
Don't know that.
I wouldn't accept a blessing from Pope John Paul II, whether he was in living form and it was the past, or he was a zombie now.
Wouldn't
I'd accept a blessing.
Zombie Paul,
I
would
accept
a blessing.
Blessing
really?
Sure. Every
really?
Time. Every
oh,
time.
Man.
If all he's offering is a blessing and not eating my brains, absolutely.
What if it's a trick?
Well, yeah. Zombies might be tricksters. I just think, okay, I got yelled at on Friday night by a very drunk man about Brian Williams, and a lot of what he said didn't make any sense.
Right, yeah.
And most of it was just like,
I love
that
guys are just yelling at Brian Williams about...
He was so mad, and for the most of it, like, I'm with you, Weston, I just don't care that much. Mostly because I...
He watches the fucking news.
And, like, mostly, like, it's just like, yeah.
The more I know that he's a newsman...
Yeah,
and
I,
you know, somebody came up and was like, oh, and he also lied about this actual story that actually changed the way the war was going, I'd be like, oh...
He provided the info about yellow cake uranium.
Yeah. And Jon Stewart was like, yeah, maybe if somebody actually worried about this when they were trying to get us into the fucking war in the first place, maybe we wouldn't be in the
right,
war. Like,
right.
And people kind of retweeted that and they just dismissed it. But this guy was like, this is the whole sensation of liberal America. And I was like, well, first off, Brian Williams is registered independent and has voted Republican in 2 of the last 4 elections. So, and that, like, he was like, well, still, like,
good on him. I like I like that he switches sides.
He won't tell anybody who he's voting for because he's such a staunch newsman and he doesn't want any bias.
And he's always had that. And I always think though that it's like if you could dig up and had a record of every single thing that like Dan Rathers or like Walter Cronkite or any of those sons of bitches like said during it, that's just the best story told.
Yeah.
There was this thing when the Obama administration, I remember this was a first term thing, and it was like, oh, well, when you look at the transcripts and everything, and Rahm was still the chief of staff at this point in time, but they were like, they curse more than any other administration or this, that. And it was like, no, we're just actually recording them. No.
Yeah.
Now it's not like other verbatim.
Right. I bet Lyndon Johnson was pretty bad.
Yeah, you know? Like, before it was just guys like, it was just like, if an expletive, it was like, I don't need to write down fucking cocksucker. Yeah. And that actually means I'm two words ahead.
Yeah.
And so it's like,
then I can jump.
Like, and so it's like, thank God, I don't need to include fucking cocksucker. And, but now, yeah, ever since like the digital recorder, and then the urgency to get news up compared to like when you were preparing a morning.
The articles is like, are there even articles? Like, there's such an urgency. It's like 10 minutes after an event happens, an article is like a picture. It's like, I'm afraid to click on it because there's no way they're keeping up with real time.
Well,
articles.
It's like two paragraphs. I think like
yeah, just
you
information.
Guys,
well,
you guys
live,
following,
you know, like live updates to follow, yeah. Keep refreshing.
Following any like, you know, sports or celebrity shit,
it's
anything
so
like that.
Time. Oh fuck!
And it's all
I get
petty.
Shit on my phone, like oh.
And it's all petty, but it's all sensationalized. I remember when we were driving to Kansas to do the tour was actually
LeBron.
When LeBron was making his decision.
Yeah.
And so it was like this
radio
thing,
the whole
and we were
like,
listening,
oh,
and everyone was talking about, and this line, the letter might have meant this,
yeah.
And it could have meant this, and there's still been no official word beyond this letter, but let us read it to you again, you know, and it was like this thing where I was like, oh, and it's like, they're psyching you up.
Right.
They're selling you on the process of the story.
Do you do politics a lot?
I don't like, I mean, I have my... You know, I'm very left-leaning, so it's kind of, I just...
Do you get in arguments about politics with people? Not
I don't
like
to.
The Grammys, I, not like yeah. Brian Williams.
Brian Williams, that guy was just yelling at me, and I think what all started it was, somebody asked me, we were drinking, and somebody asked me, who would be the president you want to have a beer with the most? And I was like, well, I would love to have a beer with Obama, because I think he's the coolest guy we've ever elected.
Even have Lincoln on me.
And oh, also, yeah. I think
I'd
Bush, too.
Drink Lincoln.
I think Bush, too. Would be a great drink.
Oh, is that? Do they have to be alive? Or
well, I just said. No, I just said
Grant.
Two alive guys.
Oh my god!
Well, Grant would drink
Grant.
Under the table.
Oh yeah, no, you'd go
Kennedy?
On a crazy adventure.
I'd love to have a drink with Kennedy.
Kennedy,
would
maybe,
yeah.
Maybe
well,
you'd get laid.
Yeah, you'd definitely get laid.
You'd get laid.
Nixon
yeah.
would. Show you all these terrible
oh,
things.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah.
I gotta say, now that when you
people
put it
like,
that
well,
way,
maybe George W. Like fuck all the current.
I remember I was standing on the roof of a parking garage, finishing up an acid trip, and it was like 6:30 in the morning, and my buddy turns to me and he says, "Do you think Barack Obama has taken his morning shit by now?" And I was like, oh my God, the President of the United States of America takes morning shits too. Like, you know, it's like,
yeah.
And at this point he was still smoking. And so I turned to my buddy and I was like, well, it depends if he's had his first cigarette or not. Like, we don't know when he started.
Has he quit smoking? Is that the thing
he's now? Quit smoking since, I believe. But I was like, he smokes cigarettes. So if he's had his coffee and his cigarette and it's 8 a.m. now in Washington, D.C. So I was like, yeah.
He's
I bet he
is.
Has. Or he
That's
might
definitely.
Be right there right now. But I remember this huge moment. It's I have a handful of great moments on acid trips. But watching all the birds wake up, stir out of their nests amongst the clouds and everything. And then my friend Aaron turning to me and being like, you think Barack Obama, president-elect of the United States of America...
Do you follow Kansas
dedication.
Politics at all? The state of Kansas?
No,
oh, it's a no. show. No. It's a depressing show.
Not unless they do something crazy, like when they proposed the anti-gay marriage bill.
Well,
he didn't propose it. He just
he did it.
They
not
did
gay
it.
Marriage,
did it.
Not gay marriage, but
it's their workplace rights.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
so
that's
work,
right.
You can
right.
fire somebody
basically,
because they're gay.
Which is actually way worse than not letting them get married. Like, I would rather, like... Have my imagine projecting on yeah
wow so
like
it's
a
basically
rancor can say oh you're gay and having
it's
out.
Basically like the
ends
most
the
basic discrimination laws.
Yeah.
Yeah it's like
Kathleen Sebelius
almost
passed.
The next
the next trick would be to pass gay marriage so they pair off and branded one another, and then you just knew the sorts of people to ostracize from right off the bat.
He's trying to hide the fact that he's running the state into the ground financially because the Koch brothers are set up in Wichita, Kansas, and, you know, tax, they're not paying any tax. Like, they just announced they're going to cut, what was it, like 50...
It was off of the schools, right?
Yeah, that's what we're going to try to make up. This, we're going broke, so we're going to cut back on what we're going to give the
just
poorest
cut schools and
just
social
the poorest,
not
the rich white schools.
No.
We don't want to hurt people with futures.
Yeah, don't want to hurt people that are rich already and that will pay more taxes.
Yeah. Oh man, it's a show.
It's such a shit show. It's like, and I. It would be on my radar. I know, actually, somebody who's in Kansas now and was out here for a little while, but is back in Kansas, and so she posts a lot of this stuff as well. Oh, and that's a great, so that person's name is Mick Longhofer. I actually know her through my brother's poetry stuff, and she wrote in her Tumblr years ago, on her Tumblr blog, came up with the phrase, if a writer falls in love with you, you'll never die, or whatever, and Drake recently reposted it, and then a bunch of people thought that Drake
wrote it.
And it was this huge thing, and so she actually went on, like, Reddit, and was like, it's kind of frustrating as an author, I don't even like that line or that whole piece as much as I did when I wrote it, but it's kind of frustrating, like, trying to figure out, like, hey, Drake, I said that.
Hello, that was actually me and not...
Oh, no.
Key and Peele sketch, right?
Mick.
My fucking grandpa did that to me tonight.
No, that's Mick Everett.
Son of a bitch.
Still your joke?
We're talking about something, and I go, oh, what am I, chopped liver? And nobody says anything. He's like, what am I, chopped liver? Whole table laughs. I'm like, you son of a bitch. I don't care, you're 78 years old.
You just slap him. That was my joke.
Hey, well, so let's talk about... We should acknowledge on this 46th episode of Ghost Pee that...
It's the 46th?
No, it's the 46th.
Oh, I remember we did the Jordan episode last time.
Oh, so now you know. Yeah, now you know.
Okay. I remember stuff and...
Interspersed.
Time. It'll come back to me.
Yeah.
It is Nick's 26th birthday today.
And Connor turned 26 yesterday.
Yesterday.
So we're doing a double birthday podcast recording.
This is wild.
Yeah, and try and use all of the timestamps and clues that we've given you throughout this episode to figure out when Connor and I's birthdays are. Yeah, that would be the easiest one. You should have said it right there.
They would have to go back.
Yeah, they're like, oh shit. They said something just happened.
All right, you're a big baseball guy.
Mm-hmm.
You're a professional writer.
A professional writer about baseball. Tell me chances of the Royals winning the World Series next year.
Well, a lot lower than when they were in the World Series last year.
Yeah.
Also, the AL Central has gotten a lot better around them.
Who?
White Sox have gotten very good. The Tigers are still very good. The Indians are building up.
Have you seen we've re-signed everybody except for Shields?
Yeah, that's when your best pitcher just walked out the door.
Yeah, but he wasn't... I mean, he was good, but he's not like a... We're not built around one person.
No,
he's
but at the
Madison
same time...
Baumgartner.
We're gonna steal bases on you. We're going to lay down bunts. We're going to get on base. We're going to bring our bullpen.
I always just watch them.
They haven't lost anybody from their bullpen.
I watch them as such a utility team.
But it was such a... Yeah, and that was good, and they're a good baseball team. But at the same time, a team that snuck into the wild card game with a great September... I mean, had a fantastically hot September.
They were leading up until... They hit a dry spell. They were crushing for over half the season.
Yeah, they were fine, and then they went through a dry spell, and then they were out of the playoffs, and then they jumped back in September with a great September, and then had a fantastic
it's
October.
It's a hell of a wild card game, too.
That was one of the best baseball games I've ever seen happened in that wild card game. And that's what baseball and the playoffs are so crazy is... The Royals could be a better team next year and win 96 games and go in and then get swept in the first round.
Right.
So, I mean, I can't say for sure, but I do know that their division got better around them, apart from the Twins. And it's going to be more difficult for them. But, and the American League as a whole, I mean, Boston has turned their team around. They'll be in it. New York should be in it. Out West.
Yeah, they got A-Rod coming back, so they're set.
Out West.
Oh, yeah, because that's just going
to
go super
By the way, I want A-Rod to be the best player in baseball this year.
I do, too.
Without a doubt.
Is it just your contrarian? Are you on Team A-Rod because you're on
Team The same way I'm on Team Kim K. Yeah, he's a total... Oh, A-Rod's the worst person alive.
Well, I hate that motherfucker, but I hate the whole Yankees organization. That's
another thing I hate the Yankees organization.
My dad's from Detroit, though.
I hate the anti-steroids writers, and I want them to suffer. I want them to feel the pain.
I don't think are you can recover that. Are you, come back naturally. You mean, are you just pro-steroid?
I'm not pro-steroid. I'm glad they're out of the game.
Carte blanche?
I'm glad they're out of the game. I just think it's an era that we're trying to sweep under the rug, and all we have to do is accept it, acknowledge it, know that most players were on it, and say this was a mistake and an oversight by baseball. But it's not like baseball handed back the ticket money. Right. They didn't hand back the revenue. The fact of the matter is, steroids basically saved the game in 1998 when Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa were on the home run chase.
Especially after the strike.
After the strike in 94, baseball ticket sales were in the dark.
Yeah.
And
Jordan was on the scene.
Yeah, basketball. Jordan was out there. So the whole thing that, you know, these writers are now coming back and acting like the moral police of baseball by not letting them in the Hall of Fame is... It's self-aggrandizing. It's acting like you're so great.
Is that your fundamental problem with sports writers on Twitter?
That is, they're self-aggrandizing.
I feel you in that way. That you are. I mean, it's like first people I followed on Twitter were like, you know, rappers and comedians.
Yeah,
rappers.
And then
of course.
And then though, as sports writers started slipping, I was like, these guys are more pretentious.
They're absolutely
than the. Than the rappers.
And the funniest thing is you can sit there and tweet at Kanye and say, oh, I hate you, and Kanye's never going to respond to you. But you sit there and talk trash to a sports writer, and he's going to get offended. As though you've walked into his house and peed on his lawn and slapped his wife.
How often do you talk trash to sports writers? Yeah.
Even tonight, not yet. Well, every now and then I'll get like a, you know, they'll be like, okay, whatever. But even tonight I was talking shit to Adam Schefter. Because Schefter's brand has gone in the toilet. He made a Gone Girl joke about an actual domestic violence case. They dropped the charges because the victim no longer wanted to go to court, which happens in a lot of domestic violence cases, regardless of guilt. So, and then Schefter goes, oh, they can't get her to go on the stand? What is she, Gone Girl? And I was like, first off, very insensitive. Second off, not even a good joke.
Yeah.
Really shitty pop culture reference. And then tonight he tweets out, oh, the real All-Stars are at Rockefeller Center tonight, referencing SNL 40 and saying it was better than the NBA All-Star game. And I was like, Schefter, do the Gone Girl joke again. Do that one. Do your jokes again. Tell your fucking jokes. And it's just like these sports writers, Keith Law does the same thing. Keith Law tweeted out this really pretentious take on beer after Budweiser did their attack on craft breweries, which was misled and misguided.
It wasn't even that good. It wasn't that good of a day.
But
it's like pretentious.
You like a pumpkin ale?
Oh, yeah.
It's like
a pumpkin ale.
It's like McDonald's being like, "Oh, you like other burgers?"
Of course I do.
like you're like sitting at like an actual restaurant, and they're like, "Oh, fuck you, buddy." Like
that burger costs $8. Yeah.
But like. He tweets out like, oh, nobody that drinks Budweiser beer is going to drink a craft beer. I'm like, fuck you, I drink both. You know, and it's not a thing about like, oh, I like Budweiser just the same amount as I like craft beer. It's that if I get drunk, you know, I'm holding an Easy Street. If I get drunk on Easy Street Wheat, I'm waking up in so much pain. And if I get drunk on 46 Budweisers, I'm waking up in a little bit of pain. I'm like, oh, this sucks, but I had a lot of water last night in the beer I was drinking.
Right.
So it doesn't hurt as bad. And, you know, I think that's just people who either are too far gone from college or were really big nerds in college and never got invited to parties, that they just get up this beer snob in them that, oh, I would never drink a queso. And I'm like, fuck, if you hand me a beer, I'm not going to turn it down.
Did you hear about the the Matador?
Yeah, they won't serve Bud now.
Had a big article in the paper. We talked about it with Eric, too. But
it's, I mean, you know, you can stand where you want to stand on if you support craft beer. That's great, especially in Fort Collins. Where it's such a big part of the local scene in the
county. What was so interesting with us talking about Eric is like, because we kept running into, you'd have like these issues where you'd speak out against somebody tearing you down.
Right.
Like the Kanye thing. But then, if you're like,
then you want to allow.
Well, it's only because I really agree with that guy. That's why I'm so like hung up on it. You know what I mean?
You pick your fucking sides.
Yeah.
Hey, so what is the most unjust, misinformed thing that you passionately believe in?
The most unjust thing I passionately believe in?
Yeah, well, like, so last week I bought a ticket to the Powerball because it was up to, $500 million. And, you know, as I was driving away from the grocery store, I was like, well, you know, the odds are slim. But do I feel that I'm owed cosmically, you know, somewhere to the tune of $500 million just in, like, back taxes for what this earth has done to me during my existence? I was like, abso-fucking-lutely, yeah. And then I didn't win the Powerball. I was like, oh, yeah, okay. I mean, that's a lot of money. I hope, you know, somebody has fun with it, I guess. And I let it go. But it was important, that process of being like, this is not a waste of $2. This is a $2 investment on the dividends that I am owed. I told the guy I bought it from, I was like, you know what? When I win this, I'm going to come back and I'm going to give you $100. He's like, it's $500 million. And I was like, do you have any idea how many people I'm going to owe $100
yeah,
to?
Yeah, I have to spread this out.
March, you know? I'll
have some left for me.
I'm not going to burn it all on, like, Goodwill.
I guess the biggest thing would be professional sports, because at the end of the day, the NFL, I mean, the NBA is coming back around with silver, Major League Baseball under C League, the NHL, at the end of the day, they're for-profit companies, or FIFA especially too, they're for-profit companies operating as nonprofits.
Oh yeah, that's
and,
insane.
You know, Roger Goodell or Gary Bettman can force a city to build a stadium on its tax money because they can claim the league can't afford it. Mm-hmm. When Roger Goodell and the NFL probably pocketed $4 billion last year.
Oh, it's creepy.
And so, you know, and I don't really like to support the NFL anymore, not ever because of that, because that's been 10, 15 years of that, but because of just the way they throw it in your face.
Right.
FIFA does the same thing. But, you know, like, I watched every game of the World Cup. I love soccer, and at the same time I represent that FIFA is probably just as bad as a terrorist organization in the way that they just handle
situations. Oh, the human rights violations going on in Qatar for their
Well, and they
next
forced
shit.
Brazil to change fundamental laws. 30 years ago, Brazil passed a law you can't drink beer at a soccer game because people died. So they passed that law. FIFA came in and said, we're not going to have a World Cup if you have that law. So they allowed people to drink beer because Budweiser is the number one sponsor of the World Cup. So professional sports are just a terrible thing that I can't stop supporting.
Right.
I have to continue because I love the games.
Mm-hmm.
So that's probably the worst thing I support. And financially, I financially support them. I go to games. I buy merchandise. It sucks, but I have to.
You and your fucking Colorado Rockies. I remember when baseball slaughtered all those indigents.
So real quick, let's get a Colorado sports update. Nuggets suck. We don't need an update on that. Rockies, what are their chances this year?
I want to be optimistic and say if everyone's healthy and they get the opportunities out of the... there's a blank space there for the rotation and the bullpen to step up and be good. And bullpens change year to year, so it's fine. That they can win 85 to 90 games.
Really?
I just think...
You heard it here first.
The division... I just think, honestly, they won't stay healthy. Somebody will go down.
All right, Broncos. Peyton's coming back. Are you excited or no?
Yeah.
Or are you like?
I think
already?
You know, a lot of people are really down on Peyton after this last year. I think he's fine.
You're
I
pretty
think...
outspoken about how
Broncos
how bitchy
fans are
Broncos
absolute
fans are,
pieces
yeah.
of shit.
Oh, they're
and they
entitled.
Don't deserve a winning team, but I think they're going to have another one. I can't wait. And I mean, honestly, the only reason I would want Peyton to retire is so next year the Broncos are absolute piss garbage, and Broncos fans can finally act like. You know, I got into heated debates with comedian Dan Jones about this because Broncos fans act like they've been in this painful purgatory when so many NFL teams have never even seen their team play in a
right,
Super Bowl.
Right, right, right.
And I've been alive for three of them and know my team's been in seven. So.
And that's better than, like, the Chiefs fans could
yeah,
say.
Yeah, Chiefs fans have never seen their team
in
a Super Bowl.
We have had great teams, like, fun teams to watch, and they just crap out early. The Chiefs, I think, this year, though. And they're going to take Peyton down. And
I think, well...
Get everybody healthy on our defense.
My Chiefs fan friend says that every year. And then
everybody healthy this year.
Broncos sweep.
Nobody kill themselves and
honestly,
defense. That's the...
After Peyton retires, I bet the Chiefs win the division. And then probably choke in the divisional round. But...
I like Alex Smith. I don't care what anybody says.
He's a fine
solid,
quarterback.
Man.
But
solid.
one more thing I think
Andy that Reid, come on.
The Raiders are the team to watch in the AFC West. Ooh. And in two or three seasons, the Chiefs who's are going to have a hard time. David Carr, who is going to be something. Or
the Christian Derek dude Carr. Who Derek just Carr. Went off after they beat the Chiefs this year. Yeah. And it was all
the man
Jesus
is the best rookie quarterback of last year outside of Teddy
Bridgewater. I can't wait to see that guy.
The guy Tim who loves Tebow Jesus Jr. just got second place in the Super Bowl. Russell Wilson says God watches football.
Yeah, that
God
was ridiculous.
Can throw those interceptions.
Yeah. But everybody knows Marshawn Lynch was carrying that team.
Yeah, true.
He was carrying the team.
Lynchgate.
Who was the other? What's the other football question? Tom Brady, greatest quarterback ever.
Most accomplished quarterback ever. I hate having those debates with different eras, but
hey.
I think he's the most accomplished.
Yeah, he's great.
He's one of the greats.
He's great.
They're not going to make the playoffs.
Yeah, I know.
Who?
The Avs.
Do you think... Yeah, Avs suck. do you think Tom Brady wins another one?
They could next year. Next year is their window, though.
Who wins next year? Who's your pick a month after the season NFL?
Packers.
God damn it, the Packers should have beat Seattle this year.
Here's the thing. I almost said Cowboys... Oh, wow. But the Cowboys are in a complete shit show with their salary cap, and I think they're going to have to cut a lot of people.
You think Murray's gone?
Murray's probably walking because they got to sign Dez. And they got to cut some O linemen. They're in a real
Peterson
bad place.
In a Cowboys jersey?
If I don't want him back in the league, but, you know. If
he Why? Because he spanked his kid?
Because he was so. He didn't apologize for it. Until somebody forced him to.
Yeah, he didn't think it was wrong.
And that, to me, is it's a culture thing.
Yeah,
admittedly.
He didn't know.
It's
not his fault.
Admittedly, it's a culture thing. But at the same time, for him to come out, and I think that suspending him and forcing him out is a move to change the culture. That's what I think.
Will Rice play next year?
I hope not. He's even worse.
He's worse.
He's
man.
Even worse.
Come on.
He's the worst.
Come on. He cold cocked a girl. Like,
he beat the shit out of her.
He just, his one
and
like,
it wasn't even... And,
you're an NFL
people
player,
and
dude.
Ravens fans don't deserve any love. Ravens fans, to me, are the worst fans in the NFL. So they don't deserve a winning team ever again.
They're the worst. Worst fans. Who's your college? You have a college basketball team?
Yeah, CSU.
No, a college basketball team.
CSU.
Okay. Are they going to make the tournament?
I think so.
Are they?
I think they went out and make the tournament.
Oh, win out. They have to win out to make the tournament?
No, I think they will, though.
They will.
And then you can't keep out a team that's 25-5.
Who's the greatest? Well, Kentucky, obviously. But, yeah, okay. Who's going to win it this year? College basketball.
Villanova.
Oh, you're dumb. Kentucky's going to win.
Kentucky probably will, but I want to say somebody other
Kentucky
than Kentucky.
Has an NBA team, all
yeah,
right?
They do every year, but they don't win it every year.
They don't. They miss the tournament some years. That's
2 years ago, at least once.
Important to remember.
They've done it at least once.
They missed the tournament with one of Calipari's squads and then lost in the first round of the NIT. Is that not what you want to see for the other team? That
they even cared in the NIT, though.
But that's the point. It's like, dude, you lost in the first round of the NIT.
What are you gonna do?
We talked about it earlier. Jayhawks, you know, we're cruising.
Yeah, I bet.
We're going to win our 11th straight conference tournament. We're approaching UCLA like dominance.
UCLA, Dean Smith.
Yeah. Basketball was invented in Lawrence, so
it's true.
It's the way we should probably close out the show.
Coming back home.
Yeah, man, that's where basketball's from.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, well,
let's talk sports every time you're in town.
All right.
On the next podcast,
the next one you create.
Yeah, we're gonna do it.
Oh, he's got good plans.
Yeah, we're gonna.
He's got good plans.
We'll keep something going.
I'm helping. Don't worry.
From your
I'm engineering.
Cow town.
I
want to
talk
going?
More sports. I want to talk more pop culture.
No cows.
All based
cows.
On the headlines that I read.
I'm mad about it.
Here's just headlines.
Here's my opinion.
This says 27-year-old dead. I don't know why, but I'm mad.
That's how Nancy
Stop
Grace
killing 27-year-olds.
Well, she runs
Stop
her show.
Killing 27-year-olds.
Stop it.
Happy birthday to Nick. Do you have anything to plug? People can find you on the internet.
You can find me on Twitter.
Connor doing work.
And your articles.
And my articles on rockspile.com.
Rockspile.
So, yeah.
Do you want to spell any of those things?
Is it like rocks just... with an X?
Yeah, rockspile.com.
And isn't it just doing without the
yeah,
G?
Yeah, no G and no caps.
Yeah.
Doing work.
Connor just like Kanye work. Would do it.
Yeah.
Just like Kanye.
It should be Kanye doing work.
Should be, but it's not.
Connor doing Kanye.
Ooh.
bound.
What's your
three?
Favorite Kanye song?
My favorite Kanye song? Over the last 5 years, New Slaves.
Mm.
Ever Through the Wire. Just because he broke his jaw and actually still did a very good rap song. His jaw was wired shut, and he still rapped better than Iggy Azalea ever will.
Best rapper of the last 15 years.
Best rapper of the last 15 years? Kendrick Lamar. I know
really?
He's only put out one. I know he's only put out one. He's changed the rap game.
That verse on
anybody
Control.
Else.
That verse on Control. Yeah. That's. No,
the man destroy. I've never had a rapper put out one album that was bigger and better for hip hop than Kendrick Lamar.
Really? If you look at it, well, it's because like
I've
his.
I've seen him perform on like SNL. I've listened to his music.
I think he's got a lot. I think he's got. I think he's got a lot of stage presence to do.
Yeah.
But in terms of that album coming out,
that's what I love most about
it. And the verses he's dropped, it's like you watch him and it's like.
What makes a good rapper for you?
For me, it's half verses, half kind of just the beat work and production, which I think Kanye is the best producer of all time, which is why I love Kanye so much. But Kendrick's verses and the fact that Kendrick's not a typical mainstream rapper. And he went out and sold the most records.
He did.
So.
No, and I like the depth and the degree to determine.
Yeah. All right.
Distance, 'cause right now